you so that I could execute you."
If he expected surprise from her, she didn't give it. She just shrugged.
"Sounds like an unnecessarily formal term. Why not just cut my throat while I was drugged?"
"This city is a place of law," Yeoman said. "We do not kill indiscriminately."
"This is war," Vin said. "If you wait for discrimination before you kill, you'll have a lot of unhappy soldiers."
"Your crime is not one of war, Lady Venture."
"Oh, and am I to know this crime, then?"
"It is the most simple of all crimes. Murder."
Vin raised an eyebrow. Had she killed someone close to this man? Perhaps one of the noble soldiers in Set's retinue, back a year ago when she'd assaulted Keep Hasting? Yeoman met her eyes, and she saw something in them. A loathing that he kept hidden behind the calm front. No, she hadn't killed one of his friends or relatives. She'd killed someone far more important to him.
"The Lord Ruler," she said.
Yeoman turned away again.
"You can't honestly intend to try me for that," Vin said. "It's ridiculous."
"There will be no trial," Yeoman said. "I am the authority in this city and need no ceremony to give me direction or permission."
Vin snorted.
"I thought you said this was a place of law."
"And I am that law," Yeoman said calmly. "I believe in letting a person speak for themselves before I make my decision. I will give you time to prepare your thoughts. However, the men who will be guarding you have orders to kill you if it ever looks like you are putting something unapproved into your mouth."
Yeoman glanced back at her.
"I'd be very careful while I eat or drink if I were you. Your guards have been told to err on the side of safety, and they know that I will not punish them if they accidentally kill you."
Vin paused, cup of water still held lightly in her fingers.
"Kill him," Ruin's voice whispered. "You could do it. Take a weapon from one of those soldiers, then use it on Yeoman."
Vin frowned. Ruin still used Reen's voice. It was familiar, something that had always seemed a part of her. Discovering that it belonged to that thing, it was like finding out that her reflection really belonged to someone else, and that she'd never actually seen herself. She ignored the voice. She wasn't sure why Ruin would want her to try killing Yeoman. After all, Yeoman had captured her. The Obligator King was working on Ruin's side. Plus, Vin doubted her ability to cause the man any harm. Chained, lacking offensive metals, she'd be a fool to attack. She also didn't trust Yeoman's comments about keeping her alive so that she could speak in her defense. He was up to something, yet she couldn't fathom what it might be. Why leave her alive? He was too clever a man to lack a reason. Giving no hint of his motivations, Yeoman turned away from her again, looking back out his window.
"Take her away."
By sacrificing most of his consciousness, Preservation created Ruin's prison, breaking their deal and trying to keep Ruin from destroying what they had created. This event left their powers again nearly balanced. Ruin imprisoned, only a trace of himself capable of leaking out. Preservation reduced to a mere wisp of what he once was, barely capable of thought and action. These two minds were, of course, independent of the raw force of their powers. Actually, I am uncertain of how thoughts and personalities came to be attached to the powers in the first place. But I believe they were not there originally. For both powers could be detached from the minds that ruled them.
55. It took Elland much longer to get back from the village than it had taken to get there. For one thing, he had left a lot of his coins with the villagers. He wasn't certain how much good money would do them in the coming weeks, but he'd felt that he had to do something. They were going to have a rough time of it the next few months. Their food stores were nearly depleted, their homes burned by Kolos, their water sources contaminated by ash, their capital and king besieged by Elend himself. I have to stay focused, he told himself, walking through the falling ash. I can't help every village. I have to worry about the larger picture. A picture that included using a force of Kolos to destroy another man's city. Elend gritted his teeth, continuing to walk. The sun was creeping toward the horizon, and the mists had already started to appear, lit by the blazing fire of red sunlight. Behind him tromped some 30,000 Kolos, his new army. That was another reason it took him a bit longer to get back. He wanted to walk with the Kolos army, rather than jumping ahead of them in case their Inquisitor appeared to steal them back. He still couldn't believe that such a large group hadn't been under any kind of direction. I attacked a Kolos army on my own, he thought as he slogged through a patch of thigh-deep ash. I did it without Vin's help, intent on defeating their Inquisitor by myself. How had he thought to fight an Inquisitor on his own? Kelsier himself had only barely been able to defeat one of the things. Vin has killed three now, he thought. We took them on together, but she was the one who killed each one. He didn't begrudge her the abilities she had, but he did feel occasional glimmers of envy. That amused him. It had never bothered him when he had been an ordinary man, but now that he was Mistborn too, he found himself coveting her skill. And even with her skill, she had been captured. Elend tromped along, feeling a weight he couldn't shake. Everything just seemed wrong to him. Vin imprisoned while he was free, mist and ash suffocating the land. Elend, despite all his powers, was unable to do anything to protect the people and the woman he loved. And that was the third reason that he walked ploddingly with his Kolos, rather than returning immediately to his camp. He needed some time to think, some time alone. Perhaps that was what had driven him to leave in the first place. He'd known that their work was dangerous, but he'd never really thought that he might lose her. She was Vin. She always got out. She survived. But what if, this time, she didn't? He'd always been the vulnerable one, the common person in a world of Mistborn and Kolos, the scholar who couldn't fight, who had to depend on Vin for protection. Even during the last year of fighting, she'd stayed close to